Now, as well as some of the well-known actors we've had in the show, some of the local lads were picked to be in the film. And I've got a couple of them with me just now who were lucky enough to be chosen to be in the movie. And both of them have something special. Stephen Russell had a line in the movie. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Oh, hi there. Absolute pleasure. It's been a kind of landmark in my life. It still comes up every now and again. You meet someone of a certain age that thinks that's still impressed by it.
Now, just to remind everybody what your line was.
Oh, it was because I didn't have football boots. That's how Dee Hepburn got on the team, because I didn't have boots and she did, so like, she came on. So I get sent off, and the line was, oh, I'll get some boots if I get on the team. And it was like, oh, that's no good, boy. So I get sent off.
Brilliant.
The reason I even had those, I turned up in those Converse because my sister had been in America.
Right.
And she got me these Converse that the kids are still kind of wearing now.
Yeah.
And so I turned up in them, and the casting director grabbed me and he took me over to Bill and says, like, what about this boy? And kind of, obviously, Bill's got kind of bigger fish to fry. And he's like, you know, okay, that's fine, that's absolutely brilliant. So I just ended up, the casting director took me away and gave me that line.
Were you nervous about doing a line in a film? Had you done anything before?
I went to Cumbernauld High School, and they cast us through Assembly. But I actually was doing stuff at the Cumbernauld Theatre, well, the Cottage Theatre, as we were calling it at that time. I was doing some stuff at the Cottage Theatre. But I think they were trying to bypass that and not get actorish types, although we weren't
right.
Exactly Sylvia Young, you know, it was a wee bit different from that. So they were trying not to get actorish types, but there you go. But I was kind of doing a bit of amateur theatre down at the Cottage.
Also in that lineup, in that scene, was Ronnie Walker, who's also on the line with us. Ronnie, thanks for joining us.
Hiya.
Now, you didn't have much to say in the film, but you did have something special because you provided.
Yeah, my main claim to fame was I played the Dee Hepburn's legs in some of the scenes.
You were Dee Hepburn's leg double.
Yeah.
Was that for the dribbling scenes?
Yeah, that was for the dribbling plus the short in at goal that she scores. That was me took the shot.
Why did they choose your legs? Did you have matching legs to Dee's, or were you just a skillful player, or did you just pluck you at random?
Well, what happened was Dee kept hitting the cones at the time. She'd send me Patrick Thistle for a few months, and obviously...
that explains it then,
so,
doesn't it?
I was kidding.
So she kept getting the cones, so Bill for safe asked me put a pair of white socks on and try her boots, but her boots were too tight, so I had to put my own boots on. And then he just found my legs running around the cones. I've met people later in life that, like, when I'm going on about the film, I said, by the way, it's my legs. And they're like, no, I don't see that. I fancied their legs. I still hear a wee bit more hairy now.
Now, when you guys were filming, was there any scenes that you guys were in that didn't get used in the film?
I don't really know that. I know there was a lot of days you went in. I forget. Can you remember, Ronnie, how much we got? Like a day? That it was like, obviously, I was like on £2 pocket money, and it was seemed amazing to me. Do you remember?
I remember that. I mean, £4 or £5 for the
kind of... Was that what it was? What I remember is, like, when it got rained off, I was delighted.
Yeah.
I'm going to give another £40 or something, which is just often you would go in and you wouldn't be doing anything at all. And I was really impressed by the buffet. They just had a buffet on all the time. So you just go in, it would rain a bit, you would eat some stuff and go home. And then you think, wow, I just earned some money there, it's all right.
Do you remember the table been around the chip shop and bought everybody fish supples and chicken supples?
Yeah.
And at the time, all the guys that used to hang about the chippies ran in and they ordered meals as well. So there was 100 meals that were ordered and there was only 80 extras and they couldn't work it out.
And was that the chippy they used in the film?
Yeah.
Right. What was what got you first, Stephen? What was the reaction like after the film came out from your friends and your family? When, you know, what kind of reaction did you get?
Well, you know, it was quite amazing because we never really... The main attraction for us, like when, as I said, we get, like, kind of someone came round to our assembly at school, and the main attraction was that we knew that Claire Grogan was in it.
Right.
And that was it, because like, oh, that's exciting, isn't it? Like, we didn't really know it was going to be a kind of worldwide film. It could have been anything at that point. But Claire Grogan was in it, and I said, no, it's it. And unfortunately, there was never any time that I was on set that she turned up.
So you didn't get to meet her?
You went to see Claire Grogan, because we were all into all the images at the time. I think, this is wonderful. Never met her at all on the set, that just wasn't something that happened.
I remember, but you, Ronnie, what was it like for you, the reaction after the film from your mates and your family?
I remember sitting watching Grange Hill one time, and the cast of Grange Hill and the series were going to see Gilligan's Girl, and I was all excited about the fact that that Todd and all that, right, were going to watch me as well. I thought it was super cool.
Brilliant.
And be impressed by your legs.
Ah, yes, I mean, Ronald Reagan, who was president at the time, obviously got a private screening of the film.
My sister saw it in America. She was in America at the time, and they dubbed it. I thought we all had our nice telephone voices on, but like, they dubbed it in America.
That's right, yeah.
And that's that's about the kind of horseshit we can get, isn't it? and they couldn't hack it in America, they had to dub it.
Now, also on the line, boys, is another guy from the lineup. He was. I think you guys went to school with him. Jim Dorman's on the line. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, here I'm here.
Hi, Jim.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us. You guys know each other?
I know Jim very well through like musical things when we were younger. We're both interested in music.
Right, and Ronnie, you went to school with Jim, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to school, yeah.
Right, okay, brilliant. Now, Jim, what was your experience like in Gregory's Girl? What can you remember from the film, and what was your own personal experience like?
Well, my experience was I'd found out that our school football team were playing and getting filmed up in Oak Road, so I decided to take a wander along, see what was happening, and sat down with some people that I knew. And it got to about lunchtime, and somebody came up and said, right, all the extras, if you go up with Cheers and get your lunch. So I basically just wandered over with them and got a free chicken supper and a bottle of Iron Brew at it. and then I came back and they said, right, going back over to the school, get changed into a football strip, you're playing in the match this afternoon. So I was playing with my pals at football afternoon. And then at the end of the day, we were told to go and pick up wages. I just couldn't believe my luck. So I went across there, and next thing I get taken to the side, and they said, Mr. Forsyth wants you to turn up at 8:30 tomorrow to be in the football trial scene. So that was it.
Wow. That was funny you mentioned the chip shop, because Stephen was just saying something.
Here, isn't it? We're all impressed with the
fish stuff. Now, how much time did you spend in the film, Jim? Just, was it one day?
There was that full day that I totally blagged. and the next day, we were there for a full day, and we shot that scene. And I remember turning up for that, and when I turned up, they says, where's your football strip? I says, you need to tell me to bring one. You gave me one yesterday, and they went, no, you need to wear your own stuff. So just at that point, my pal Steph, you'll remember Rab Morrison.
Oh yeah.
He was going by, he was doing his paper round. So I told him to drop into my mum's house and get me my strip. And he came back about 10 or minutes later and says, I couldn't get anybody in, so I've just give you one of mine. And he gave me a yellow Scotland goalie top. Rab was about half the size of me, so this thing was like a boob tube on me. And a pair of shorts and the style I'd never seen before, because they had knickers inside them, and a pair of school socks. So that was how I came to be wearing that get up. We filmed that for the whole day. I also remember as well, I think it was between me and you, Ronnie, wasn't it, about dribbling round the cones. And they couldn't use me because my legs were too skinny.
Hairy. Yeah, that's why.
They're too hairy.
He's far too hairy, his legs. I remember that.
Now, when did you guys... Stephen, we'll go back to you. When did you first see the film? And where did you see it? Can you remember?
Oh, wow. That's when... I think that we still had a cinema in Cumbernauld at the time.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing it at the county.
In the cinema?
The Cumbernauld one?
Aye.
That's where I saw it then, because that was very short-lived, but it just happened to coincide with Gregor's Hill, didn't it?
That's right, yeah.
That's in one, yeah, I just went there, and like, it just was really quite shocking seeing your plucks besides the saucer, because it's been so huge. Go, uh-oh, because I remember as well that the makeup lady was told not to do us up, so it would look particularly bad.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like we were because like there's really strong lights and then all your pricks are like, and I just remember seeing my pricks like, and they're exactly that, like saucers, and going, oh.
I got to see it at the Emerald High School. They had a private showing of the film before it was released.
Oh wow! Yeah.
So we got to see it first. So, I remember that was a big occasion.
Now, did you go to who went to Avonhill High School? Did anyone?
I went to Avonhill High School. That's how basically I got the part. The science teacher who was a drama took the drama. I was into my sport. I was interested in drama, but they were looking for people to take part in the film, and they said, "Who's interested?" And a few hands went up. Then he went to my school, and everybody's hand went up. it turned out that the house that they were using for. It's about 100 yards from my house in Pine Place.
Right.
So the Balfour Save phoned my dad's phone at the time and asked to speak to me and asked about my height and the rest of it. And then he said, "Great, bring your slip and Saturday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning." And then that was that. In fact, I'm in quite a few of the scenes. Not just the football one, I'm in the one with the Gregory's got a picture of Dorothy when he's walking to the club, they're going, "Dara, Dara."
I'm
a schoolboy that goes by him and shakes my head at him.
Right. Oh, we must look out for that.
We get pulled in for different little bits and pieces because obviously they needed to look like we're pupils at that school. So
yes.
You have to be in the background as well as being in the team.
So y'all did little bits in the background as well then?
A few bits and pieces.
Right, okay. Now, individually, Ronnie, let's go to you. What's your favourite sort of line from the film? Is there a particular line from the movie that stands out as being, you just thought it was a cracker?
My favourite one, right? I've seen most of the film getting filmed. The one bit I didn't see was Gregory's house. I mean, I went up to the Colonel Fields at that point, and me and my friend followed the film everywhere, but the only part I've never seen is the part of Gregory's house, and that's my best part. The one with the boy comes up for Gregory's wee sister, and Gregory's quite annoyed about it, and tells him to go and smash the phone box.
That's right.
That line just sticks to me permanently.
Brilliant. That's right. That's a classic scene in the film. Now, do you know what I want to ask you guys? You guys were lucky enough to work with the late Jake Darcy. What do you remember about working with Jake? Stephen?
Well, obviously, I actually had a wee bit of kind of... that was who I kind of responded to, you know, on the film. And he was just a very, very lovely guy. And like at the time, I was kind of young, didn't know his history and like what a respected actor he is, you know. For me, it was just like completely... That he would kind of make me comfortable enough to be able to talk. There was only one line and all, but like, you know, comfortable enough to talk. Look, just seemed like a lovely guy. He is a kind of bit of a Scottish institution, isn't he?
I think it's really only now that we're actually realising how some of the big names that were actually involved in the film and how big a film. I was completely surprised and taken aback by how big the actual film came.
Did you guys get to spend any time with any of the main cast at all?
Only when they were doing the direct face-to-face filming, and then at one point I think it started raining and we had to sit in cars, and the big stars all sat in a car and they shoved us into another one. And we were just having a right good laugh because we just thought it was like a daft wee project thing.
And
there was rains going by, and we were telling the kids to chap the windows and ask for autographs because they were big famous film stars. And we thought this was a great laugh because nobody knew these faces.
Yeah.
Right. We mentioned it being an international hit, and we mentioned it being dubbed in America. Stephen, did you ever get to hear your line? went the dubbed version? Because
it didn't, unfortunately. My sister did. My sister was at the time. Sarah told me, and it just really did. What they did as well, they did a thing that, you know, sometimes like after a film, they write a book.
Right.
You know, they do that sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And there was a book. I never bought the book, but I looked at it in Wilco. And it says, and the weasel faced boy said, weasel faced boy. Where did that come from?
Fantastic description.
Oh, God. Listen, guys, before we go, I want to hear Stephen's favourite line, and I want yours, Jim, as well. Stephen, what was your favourite line from the film?
Well, obviously, everybody could only say Bella Bella. You know, like,
Bella.
He's getting interested in Italian because he obviously wants to see Wooey's girl. And know, like the Bella Bella one is just like, just Bella Bella. And the one where he's, I just get my arm up to here, which is an old gag, but still a goodie.
That's a cracker as well. What about you, Jim?
Actually, my favourite line is the one that came after the one that the weasel faced boy said. when he says about he would get some boots to go in the football team, and we also at that, because we'd found out that you get more money if you get a line. So when Steph got his line, we were all raging, but we didn't know what Jake Darcy's punchline was going to be. So when he says, where's your football boots? I'll get some for getting the team. And then when he turned and says, that's no use, son, just get up the road. So he walked away, and we were all squealing our heads off because we knew we were going to get another couple of days' worth of it.
You got another 5 minutes. 5 minutes to tell you another story.
Yes, go ahead.
There was about 9 years later, I was at art school in Glasgow, and I went to this photography exhibition. It was Oscar Mazzaroli, and he used to do like nice old, he used to do characters and scenes for Glasgow. And Ricky Ross was curating it because he used some of his stuff on his album covers and stuff. And Bill Forsyth turned up.
Oh.
And he was there, and I by that time, I was 9 years later, and I was 24, and I had a beard and I was at art school and stuff like that, and I just couldn't resist it. And I went up to him and I said, Bill? And he went, yeah. I said, I'll get some boots, I'll get a good team. And I'll get some really good team. And he was just absolutely jaw dropped. He went, no way, he says that much time hasn't passed.
Wow.
I'm a kind of beardy 24-year-old, and he did, obviously he must have heard that line, I don't know, in editing 100 times or more than that.
That's brilliant, and he got it immediately as soon as he heard it.
Fantastic. So he just turned his head down, and he was just completely gobsmacked that it was 9 years later and that I was a grown-up.
Now, just finally before we do finish, what do you guys do now? Some of you are in music, some of you are doing... Jim, what are you doing now?
I'm actually the operations and policy director with St Andrew's First Aid, but I play in a band called The Puzzlers.
Right, and are you gigging regularly, professionally?
Yeah, we were just doing a punk rock festival just a couple of weekends ago. We're recording a new album just now, and the gigs are starting to come in thick and fast for that.
Oh, right. Oh yeah, and I think I may have some of your music, so let me throw that on and we'll get that some of that on air as well. Ronnie, what are you doing these days?
Yeah, right now I'm a part time truck driver and full time daddy. My wife is out of work during the day, so I've got my wee 2 year old with me constantly, so it's been great. It's an experience.
Right. And Stephen, what about you? What are you doing these days?
Yeah, I'm still a musician. I still play guitar and sing, and I kind of rock and roll, kind of covers band for like kind of weddings and clubs and things. Not our own stuff anymore, but still making music and it's still good fun.
Brilliant. Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure, as I said, guys. Thanks for taking out the time and catching up. It's been a great laugh listening to some of your stories.
Wonderful. Pleasure, Ross. Thanks very much.
No problem. And I hope we all enjoy the rest of the show.
Bye. Black Sky
Radio. Now we're going to play a track from Jim Dorman's band, The Puzzlers. This is a track called The Great Commander.